Hey, party people, you are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock. The boys are on vacation all week. However, I am Ralph Garman. I am your host of Movie Beat and Showbiz Beat, and I'll be here for the rest of the week to be your radio pal. Let's get right to the showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to Spider-Man. Movie turning out to be a blockbuster in every sense. Opening day gross for Spider-Man. That was Tuesday when it opened, the day before the 4th of July. $35 million alone. That sets a record, beating Transformers, which opened at the same time, the day before the 4th back in 2007, with $27 million in first-day grosses. So Spider-Man crushing the competition. Who knows how much it will have made by the end of the week, but monster hit. So congratulations to Spider-Man and his superhero pals.
Yes.
Because they're all doing very well for themselves this summer. Gene Simmons wants you to know, if you're a Kiss fan, you should buy the brand new book about Kiss called Monster. It is a book that stands 3 feet high. Only 1,000 have been made. They're all signed by the band. Gene Simmons is calling it the Rolls Royce of books. Of course he is. It can be yours for... Any guesses on how much the new Monster Kiss book costs?
Book that's 3 feet.
Yeah, signed by the band. Only 1,000 made, limited edition. What is Gene Simmons and Kiss asking for this?
I would say a couple of hundred bucks.
Yeah, $4,300.
What?
$4,300 for a copy of Monster. Kiss will release its 20th studio album, which is also called Monster, not coincidentally, on October the 16th. But put you in your early order, by the way, for...
You know, Bean's going to get one.
Hey, I think it's worthwhile.
Yesterday was the 4th of July. I am still hungover and exhausted. They should just not put a holiday in the middle of the week like this.
Yeah, look, that's a bad idea.
Look, they do it all the time for holidays, right? Like, President's Day is always a Monday. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter when Washington's birthday was or anything else. Thanksgiving's always a Thursday, the last Thursday in November, right?
Yep.
4th of July. I know. I understand. Yeah. I understand the date is in the title. But when it's a Wednesday, you got to slide it one way.
Yeah, just
other.
Move it.
And
yeah.
Then give us the other day off because
I hear you.
I'm not going to be able to function today. 4th of July means that freaking hot dog eating contest.
Oh, the at Nathan's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Coney Island. Big deal every year. USA won this year, finally.
Yeah. Sweet.
Well, they won again last year, but it was that Kobayashi Maru, whatever that guy's name.
Yeah.
He didn't compete this year
because
he was all ass chapped last year about the reason he didn't compete last year. Joey Chestnut of the USA is once again our hot dog eating champion.
Awesome.
Wolfed down 68 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
So disgusting.
Tying the record he set back in 2009.
You know when it's funny when they like dip it in water and they're just like, oh, so disgusting.
Eater X. Tim Janis,
his
competing name is Eater X. He was second with 52 hot dogs on the woman's side.
Yeah,
the women's league. Let's go over there for our sports update. Sonya the Black Widow Thomas managed 45 hot dogs and buns, Blake breaking the record she set last year of 41. Meanwhile, Juliet Lee, who sadly has no nickname, from Germantown, Maryland, she. Got into second with 33 hot dogs. So
33 hot dogs. Yeah. Oh, God.
Who's hungry?
Not me, after hearing that. Did you guys do a barbecue or anything? Did you do any of the traditional
stuff? I did. I had, the family over, barbecued some good old USA hot dogs and hamburgers. Had some brewskis. It's good.
Did
good
time.
Yeah,
brewskis?
Had some brewskis.
Who are you, Ted?
Yep.
And more tidbits about the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes divorce. Apparently, Katie has been planning this break, this escape, for a year.
Wow.
Say friends. But she didn't let on to Tom for fear that he would try to step in or have someone from Scientology step in and keep the marriage from breaking up.
Yeah.
So she's been flying under the radar, setting this whole thing up for more than a year. She has been distancing herself from her sister-in-law, who apparently is sort of her keeper in that relationship. She stopped going to her Scientology classes to try to distance herself from their religion and then made a break for it. Here's the thing. There is the thing in the showbiz world called blind items, where they'll put a gossip item in a gossip column without identifying who the person is.
Oh, right.
And sort of leave you to figure out the details.
Mm-hmm.
Two different sites have listed a blind gossip item revolving a divorcing celebrity couple in which the wife and child once walked in on hubby in bed with a professional athlete family friend.
Hmm.
Now, two people, when asked who this could be referring to, left clues suggesting it could be Tom Cruise and David Beckham.
Ooh.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
That would explain why Victoria Beckham's Posh Spices always look so grumpy all the time. She never smiles. Maybe she knows that David's got a thing going on with Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? That was true.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Little Liar. She reportedly has wrapped photography on that Elizabeth Taylor Lifetime movie that she's doing. All she has to do now is do some post-production and maybe some retakes if necessary, but the film's producers say her performance was excellent, and the Liz and Dick project is now a wrap. So, looks like she's got her first major gig under her belt. We'll have to wait and see how it turns out. Congratulations to Linkin Park also. Number one this week at the Billboard 200 Albums Chart. They debuted at number one. Their Living Things CD sold 223,000 copies for this week. So that makes them number one. And the good news is they knocked Justin Bieber out of the top. So
yes,
it's all good news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays for this July 5th. Musician Robbie Robertson from the legendary band The Band, 69 years old today. Singer Huey Lewis from the News. We got to get some Huey Lewis in here.
I'll try to get some.
I want a new drug or a hip to be square or Power of Love. Come on, you got to give me some Huey Lewis in the News. 62 years old today. Singer Mark Cohn. Probably best known for Walking in Memphis, his hit single, 53 years old. Edie Falco, who plays Nurse Jackie, and that show is so good over on Showtime. And Dave Haywood, musician of Lady Antebellum, is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Looking ahead toward tomorrow's show, by the way, Lucretia Review's Jersey Shore will have more April Foolishness tickets for you. And Adam Scott, the great actor from Parks and Recreation and the new film Friends with Kids, is going to be joining us. Plus, we got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up tomorrow as well.
It's Book Thursday.
It is. Even though traditionally the opinion of this program is that reading is for losers, every once in a while a book comes out that looks so awesome that we cannot help but tell you about it. And this is the one, The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. The author of that book, Mr. Robert Mazur, is on the phone with us right now. Hey, Robert, thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being on your show.
No worries.
Well, this book is so in our wheelhouse. I mean, a real-life Donnie Brasco is how I mentioned it a few minutes ago. For folks who may be a little younger, since Pablo Escobar has not been in the news much lately, refresh their memories as to who we're talking about
here. How powerful he was and what he did.
Well, he was the richest man on earth at one time, and he was definitely in charge of the most violent drug organization on earth. I got an opportunity to be a part of that, and I saw it firsthand. And the brutality that that he dished out matches that we see today by the Mexican cartel.
He would kill presidential candidates. He killed half the Supreme Court at one time. I mean,
he actually blew up a commercial airliner with more than 100 innocent people on it because he thought that a presidential candidate that he did not want to see get in power was on that flight.
Brutal. So even though you have a lot of experience in this area as a special agent, you were with the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS, with the Customs Service, and with the DEA, even with all of that experience, they come to you and say, hey, Bob, we want to send you inside to try to bring down Pablo Escobar undercover. Don't you just say no, just out of saving your own neck?
No, and actually it was a volunteer position, and it was really I thought of the undercover approach and designed it, but like many other former federal agents, I went through some undercover schools that you really need to have your operatives go through to make sure that you are not getting somebody involved in this who might be a little bit more prone to slide down some of the slippery paths of the work. And you mentioned Joe Pistone; he was part of the trainers who were involved in the undercover schools that I went through. He was one of my mentors and a guy who did a tremendous job. And there were others like him who were part of the training, as well as educators and psychologists.
You're a better man than I, because it says that you partied in $1,000 per night hotel suites, drank bottles of the world's finest champagne, drove Rolls Royces, flew in private jets. How do you not get lost in that?
No.
Yeah, well, I could have been eating at McDonald's. It really didn't matter to me because when you're in this,
you are not a human being, sir.
Well, when your life is on the line, and any word that you say that you slip up on could potentially cost you everything. You know, while I'm eating, my gears are going 1,000 miles a second, trying to figure out how I can subtly nudge a conversation in one direction or the other in order to get some really important information.
Did you ever meet Pablo Escobar?
No, I dealt with his principal consigliere, a lawyer by the name of Santiago Uribe, and I also his principal, my number one client, was his major manager, a guy by the name of Gerardo Moncada, who ran 60% of Escobar's routes. He certainly knew of me, but I was dealing with people one step away from him.
What was your cover?
Well, I spent about a year and a half putting together a completely new identity verifiable, and then I was involved in a number of active businesses, an investment company in Florida, a mortgage company in Florida. We had an air charter service with a private jet, a jewelry chain with 70 locations on the East Coast, and even a brokerage firm with a seat on the New York Stock Exchange.
Were all of those fake or were all of those real?
All of those were real.
No
kidding. I was embedded in them and also had the support of two informants who were in one of the five crime families in New York. So that was pretty much my protection. I didn't carry a gun or a badge. I rarely had any kind of a cover team. But that prior preparation and the support of literally hundreds of people behind the scenes over the undercover operation. I mean, they were not only throughout the United States, but in the UK and in France and Costa Rica and other countries where I was working undercover. There were a lot of dedicated public servants.
Was there ever a time when you thought, I'm dead?
Probably the closest to that one was when I was accused in a high-level meeting, looking right dead at me in the face. Accused of being a DEA undercover agent.
Oh, my God.
Whoa! That's too close for comfort, right?
Yeah. Well, what had happened is that there were some surveillances in New York when we were to receive $10 million in cash. And the local office there, understandably, were cops. You know, we need to try to do something with this information. My argument always was, stay away from the people who are dropping off the money. Don't be on top of them. I'm going to get the money. I'm going to send it to accounts. I'm going to invest it. We were having a condo built in downtown L.A., an apartment complex, and putting money in CDs. And so we'd be able to find a lot of this money. But they really wanted to follow those guys back to see, thinking that they would take them to the pot at the end of the rainbow.
Right.
And unfortunately, as you would expect, the Colombian cartel had their counter-surveillance out there. So Moncada called screaming to my undercover partner, telling him that there were feds all over the streets and we had to be feds. And I wound up actually going alone to a meeting a couple of weeks later in Miami in a not very nice section.
That's the difference between you and me. I'm not making that meeting.
You're done.
Well, and I told him I definitely did not want any cover on that meeting, because if they picked up on any more surveillance, it would have been definitely life-threatening. The only thing the cover team would have been able to do is to, identify where the body's located. They can't get there quick enough.
But you didn't know that meeting wasn't just a hit.
No, the guy.
We've all seen Goodfellas. Come on.
Yeah, no. Well,
we watch movies, man. We know
it was a chance. I thought was a calculated risk that was worth taking. You know,
and you must have been a good enough actor that you were able to convince them that you were who you said you were in your cover, right?
Yeah, and I think I had a strong enough bond with the guy who I met there that carried a little bit of the day as well. But as I mentioned in my book, I really did. If there was anything that I did wrong in this thing, probably was coming to the conclusion that I was willing to give up everything, anything, in order to be able to continue that undercover role, endangering my life, losing my family.
Sure.
I became an information junkie. I learned things in minutes that took my office months to discover. Give you a quick example. Before the undercover operation was to end, I'd been given enough information so that I knew I was able to provide details that led to the seizure of more than a ton of coke that was in downtown Manhattan in a warehouse. And the guy in the cartel who'd kind of taken me in as his son was at the warehouse. So that guy got arrested.
Wow.
And a lot of people were very concerned because He was working directly with Pablo Escobar and many other people, and so now he's in jail for 4 days. And we did like they do on The Sopranos, you know, they go to the mattresses. Nobody calls anybody because you're afraid that the feds are listening in. And so I finally get a call from his wife. We had a code that we used so that I could go to pay phones and we wouldn't be on our normal phones. And she said, this guy's name was Roberto. She said, Roberto's got a message for you. And I really kind of got a little tense, but she said, he's decided you're the only one he can trust, that he wants you to take over.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I wound up collecting from his distributors and paying his suppliers, and really we coordinated all of that with the conclusion.
Aren't there people out there right now who want to kill you? Why would you come out and put your face? Did you put your face on the book?
No. Everything I do, my likeness is always in silhouette.
I see. Okay.
And, you know, I became a cop for the same reason that many people do. I wanted to be a part of making a difference. I mean, people do that in all walks of life. Teachers who want to be a part of making a difference. You're willing to dedicate your entire life to try to be the best at what you do.
We don't. That's why we have people like you on.
Hey, Robert, we're almost out of time. Again, the book is called The Infiltrator, My Secret Life Inside the Dirty Banks Behind Pablo Escobar's Medellin Cartel. And it's available everywhere in bookstores and at Amazon, and you can download it for your Kindle or whatever you want to do. I have to ask, 5 years undercover leading up to this arrest, and obviously there's great chapters in the book about how you got all the people together you wanted to arrest, and that's fascinating. But what kind of contact are you allowed to have with your family back home? I mean, how often did you speak with them, and how did you do it safely?
Well, I did the same things in reverse that the bad guys do. The old term back then was a roll a day keeps the feds away. You'd have a roll of quarters in your pocket, and you'd go to pay phones. And but like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd go to the I lived in Miami, so most of the time. And I'd go to the grocery store. There'd be a pay phone there, and I'd hit the pay phone, and I'd call. Usually I tried to call as often as I could. Sometimes it might have been a week or so that I didn't. But on average, I'd say probably every second or third night, I wound up calling my wife. I called the prosecutor. I called my contact agent. You have to stay rooted. You know, you really have to stay rooted in your real life during the course of this. But you can't allow that to interfere with your thinking and your acting in your undercover life. It's a very, very delicate tightrope walk.
But doesn't it just take one guy driving by that supermarket by coincidence at 2 a.m. for you to now have to explain who you're on the phone with at that time of night? And it just seems like every time you're on a payphone, even, you're exposing yourself.
Well, I'm at that stage. I'm part of the underworld. So, you know, there were banks of phones in Miami just outside of the bank that was laundering tons of money.
Oh, I see. There were
probably 12 payphones there, and there were half of them were occupied by people who were from Colombia who were there calling back to give him information about.
So you were just one of the group.
I was just one of the group. You know, seeing me at a payphone at 2 in the morning is no big deal.
All right, we're out of time. It sounds like a fascinating book. I do want to just ask, is there someone that's alive now that still wants you dead?
Yeah, there's no doubt that there would be. I really wanted to tell this story. I think it's important for the public to know about, and one of the main issues is the active involvement of the international banking and business community in the laundering of hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
Hundreds of billions?
$400 billion a year gets generated around the globe every single year from the sale of illegal drugs.
I need to sell drugs.
No, that's not the message we're taking away here,
Kevin. That's not the message.
The author's name is Robert Mazur, because I know a lot of people are driving right now, and we'll try to remember this. Mazur. The book is called The Infiltrator. Great stuff. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin Beach.
Website for the book, the-infiltrator.com.
The-infiltrator.com. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye. That guy's so much better than we are. All right. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to go to April Foolishness, you're going to have to earn your way in. You're going to have to play a game. But you can call now. 1-800-520-1067. And we will play that game.
Comedian Liz Winstead on the program later on today. Also, we'll update you on Sam, the Armenian comedian, his appearance at the Marie Callender's in Glendale over the weekend. Imagine how shocked you'd be if you were there with your family having a dinner.
Wouldn't you demand your money back?
I would.
I would think so. I would certainly lose my appetite. Also, Bill Simmons from ESPN and Grantland.com talking about the NBA and the new 30 for 30 doc series. First, though, Kevin, what's the update on China?
Well, this is really a bizarre story. They were doing the 2012 Exotica Porn Expo. And 3 days in a row, she was at an event and was taken to the hospital because she passed out.
Oh, my God.
Now, China, used to be in the WWE. She was a diva, right? And then that ended, and she's a big giant woman. That ended, and she became a porn star. And has she continued to do that? She's sticking with that?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I think so, yeah.
And you pass out 3 days in a row, and you're either at Coachella or you've got some other sort of problem happening.
Thursday she passed out in a swimming pool, and then Friday she passed out at a party. I mean, it's just it's
what
ridiculously crazy. So we thought we would check in with China and find out what exactly is going on with her. Hey, China.
Hi, how are you?
Well, we're good. How are you?
I'm great. Hi.
Hi.
Look, 3 days in a row indicates that you have a health problem.
No, it's not like that at all.
What's it like?
No, I mixed some cold medicine with some wine.
Okay, but when you do that the first day and you pass out, don't you make a mental note?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
I said, don't pass out again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To myself mentally.
Right.
Well, what do you think is going on here? I mean, will you admit to any more than that? Is there any kind of drinking or drug use
Dare you?
Oh,
how dare you? I work very hard with Dr. Drew and my sobriety.
It's
and as you know, Dr. Drew has a 100% success rate.
Well, it's not 100%.
It is. It's 100%.
Hello?
China? What happened?
Oh.
China.
I'm sorry. I must have nodded off there for a second.
Did you just pass out?
No, I didn't.
It sounded like you did.
I'm sober, and I'm not doing any drugs or anything. And anybody who says otherwise, I'll just...
China?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, wow. China. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. We were having a conversation with you.
Oh, hi, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
You passed out again. Do you remember
I didn't.
Is it really like
a
blackout?
I play She-Hulk in the new Vivid Entertainment parody of the Avengers. It's a porn parody.
Right, you're She-Hulk.
Yeah, I'm She-Hulk.
Okay.
And I...
Oh, man, this is terrible.
What?
Hi. Who's this?
China. It's Kevin.
It's China. Hi, China.
No, you're China. It's
what?
Kevin. It's Kevin and Bean. We're trying to talk to you about this passing out problem.
I know. Can you believe I passed out a couple of times, but I'm fine now.
Well, you passed out 3 times on this phone conversation.
Oh, that's Hello?
Hi.
Who's this?
It's still Kevin and Bean.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this? Hello?
That's a problem.
I'm like...
What's happening? I think I should go lay down or something.
She's not even getting words out now.
That's gonna leave a mark.
Where all these bruises come from?
I like that part.
Hey, boys and girls, you're listening to the best of the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean are on vacation. They'll be back on Monday, however, for the rest of today and all of tomorrow. I will be doing live Showbiz Beats for you. My name is Ralph, by the way, and it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming by. It is the 5th of July, the day after the holiday, so this skeleton crew we're operating with here at the Kevin and Bean Show is even less efficient, less awake, more lackluster than they ordinarily are. So I've got a barely conscious Omar in the studio with me. Beer mug has never been muggier. It's a remarkable thing to witness, and you should be here, really. Congratulations to Spider-Man. The amazing Spider-Man turned out to be a blockbuster in every sense of the word. Opening day gross for Tuesday, the day before 4th of July, was $35 million alone. So no word how much it will have made by the end of the weekend, but it promises to be one of the monster hits of the summer. Congratulations to everybody involved. Seems like just yesterday I was hanging out with Andrew Garfield at Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con, of course, coming up this week.
Yeah.
Next weekend, rather.
Right.
And he was so nervous about playing Spider-Man.
He was?
He had filmed the show, and they were going to do the panel there with the big crowd there in Hall H at the Comic-Con, and he was just so nervous about the fans' reaction, how it was going to turn out, and he was concerned that it might not be a hit, but apparently...
It's all good.
It's all good.
Yep.
No need to worry there, Andrew Garfield. You got more Spider-Mans in your future, I'm sure. Say goodbye to Chuck E. Cheese.
Bye, Chuck E. Cheese.
You're not even curious, are you? You're just doing whatever I tell you to do.
Yes.
Chuck E. Cheese apparently is no more. They are revamping the character. The giant singing rat is now going to be put by the wayside there. They're going to bring in a brand new Chuck. He's going to be a mouse rock star who plays electric guitar. So they're going to update and make him much cooler and hipper.
But still a rodent.
It's still a rodent, yeah. Sad news to Duncan Brannon, by the way, who has voiced Chuck for 20 years.
He was the voice?
He was the voice of Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow.
He found out he was no longer the voice of Chuck E. Cheese when he heard the new single, Chuck's Hot New Single, which is the name of the song, that someone else was singing, and then he found out via his agent that he was no longer Chuck E. Cheese.
Wow.
Do you have some of that new single, Chuck? It's called Chuck's Hot New Single.
I do. You want to hear it?
It is. Apparently, Chuck E. Cheese's Hot New Single. You ready? Wow. That really is an updated.
Did you hear that guitar?
Yeah. Chuck's got chops
wow,
now.
He shreds.
The new singer for Chuck E. Cheese is Jared Reddick. Some of you may recognize that name. He is the lead singer of Bowling for Soup.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, so I like that band.
He's got a new gig. Congratulations, Jared. And sad news for Duncan, who's now out of a gig after 20 years. Hey, you want to meet Gwen Stefani?
No.
You want to meet Michelle Obama? You want to hang out with them and their families?
They're going to party together?
Yes, for a mere $5,000 donation to President Obama's campaign. You can, a family of four will get to hang with Michelle and Gwen and Gwen's kids for a day of some family-friendly fun at Gwen's house on wow. August the 12th.
I'm sure Dave in the next room is trying to see how much money he's got in his bank account now.
Yeah, right. Oh, I'd like to hang out with Gwen Stefani and her children. I'm assuming this is one of those lottery kind of deals where you make a $5,000 donation and then they pull a name out of a hat, and if you're the lucky donator, then you get to go. But you get to spend
cool.
the day with Michelle Obama, Gwen, and her kids, and your kids, and you hang out and you do stuff. I bet that Stefani has a nice swing set in her backyard or something.
Yeah.
You can hang out
yeah,
with the kids.
Absolutely.
Have a good time. This Saturday, I want to give you a heads up. If you want to come see me do the Hollywood Babylon show.
You're really hungover.
Universal City Walk. Of course, we're doing it this Saturday at 10 p.m. up there at the John Lovitz Theater at Universal City Walk, Hollywood Babylon. I will be hosting my special guest co-host this week will be none other than John Lovitz himself.
Unbelievable. I'm me.
He will be there at his own club. Co-hosting with me. We always have a good time. So if you want to see me and Lovitz do Hollywood Babylon, you can go to thelovitz.com or babylonralph.com for more details and more tickets. Let's take a look at the today's celebrity birthdays for July 5th. Robbie Robertson. He is a legendary singer-songwriter, guitarist, was in the band The Band, which started out as Bob Dylan's backup band in the 60s, then became a musical powerhouse in their own right. If you've never seen the documentary The Last Waltz, one of the great documentaries about rock and roll ever, you should check it out. He is 69 years old today. Singer Huey Lewis!
Don't need money, don't take fame, don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sudden, and it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life.
What is it, Huey?
That's the power of love.
Money, we have to go back in time. Love that. 62 years old today. Mark Cohen is 53. Edie Falco, who plays Nurse Jackie on the show of the same name, she is 49. Of course, you know her from The Sopranos as well. And Dave Haywood of Lady Antebellum turns 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm just saying, if the movie's opening up on a Wednesday, let's just make it a holiday. Let's just give everybody the day off and let them go see The Big Chitter.
We say everybody gets the day off tomorrow.
I agree. It's always an event at the theater when Sacha Baron Cohen is back with one of his new character movies like Borat or Bruno. The new one, of course, is called The Dictator. You've been hearing about it. Admiral General Aladdin is what's going on this time. And Sacha Baron Cohen joins us back on The Kevin Bean Show after quite a while. Hey, Sacha, how are you?
Hello. It's nice to be back.
Great to have you. Is it tough to put the dictator character in the closet? I know you've been working on the movie for a long time and then doing a lot of the promotion in character. Is it tough to say goodbye to that one?
Yeah, listen, it's tough to say goodbye to Ali G or Borat or Bruno. You know, you kind of become a little bit like them, you know.
You've done so many interviews.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he'll be back at some point.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I wanted to play you a clip. This is you with Larry King, and we thought this was so funny. And I got to imagine that if everybody had a sense of humor, you wouldn't have a movie or a gig or any of these roles, because it seems like, not that you made Larry King angry, but a lot of people seem to get angry at your comedy, which I find extremely funny. Here's you with Larry King
exactly.
insulting the fact that he's Jewish.
I'm Jewish.
You are Jewish.
Yes.
You are Jewish.
Yes.
Fine, no problem.
Because I am Jewish, you would take offense, you would spit.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I just spit on the floor.
I see, so nothing to do
I
with
I don't that. Like the floor.
You just go in there ready to improv in character. You just put yourself in the mindset of whatever they throw at me, I'm going to figure out a way to be the dictator, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we wanted to keep a real feel, so we said to him, you know, ask whatever you want. You know, treat it like a real dictator. So he's interviewed so many dictators.
Sure.
He's kind of the perfect guy.
Now, how many interviews have you done where they didn't quite get it, or they didn't think you were funny, or you were super offensive to them even?
You know what? I did an interview in Australia in the morning show. You guys should check it out. I think it's called the Today Morning Show or Today Show in Australia.
Okay.
And literally they sat there in silence.
Oh, no.
You know, I was coming out with the most offensive jokes about, like, Jews and, you know, terribly. I was basically, you know, accusing them of having, I said, you know, before we go live, I want, you know, just so we know, I know that you are having an affair with him, and if you ask me difficult questions, I will reveal it when we go live. And obviously it was a live show. And they totally froze, and kind of the show, even though they did not laugh for 10 minutes, the show kind of went viral in Australia and became like the most talked about show. So
so they didn't
even
like
if
it
they're
at
not
all.
Liking it at the time, people then do like it.
That's so awesome. Was the best thing that happened to promote The Dictator a couple of months ago when the Academy Awards came out and said, nope, not going to allow you on the red carpet in character, can't do it. Then, of course, they finally acquiesced and you got a chance to dump on Seacrest. But you must have been so happy when they tried to ban you from the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was kind of ludicrous because I was in this movie, Hugo, which got,
right.
I don't know, like 10 or 11 Academy nominations. And then, you know, actually banning me from turning up was kind of pretty funny. You know, the head of the Academy had called up my agent. He said, you know, if he turns up within half a mile of the Academy Awards, I have 250 FBI agents. They will arrest him. So my agent calls me up and he said, you better not turn up. And I go, the FBI aren't going to arrest me. I mean, what are they going to arrest me for?
Right, right.
So I go, well, there's no crime to, like, turning up to a movie that you're nominated for, you know, that's pretty legal.
Right.
And so when I actually turned up, the police saw the limo, and they suddenly, like, you know, stopped the rest of the traffic. This cop came up to me, and he had a clipboard, and on the clipboard was a picture of me as the dictator. And he said, listen, sir, I'm going to have to check the car. And inside the car, I had, like, the urn with Kim Jong-il's ashes.
Right.
And so I couldn't let him come in, so I said, why do you want to come in? And he said, well, we believe that you have live arms inside.
Live what?
You know.
Arms.
Live arms, as in, you know, guns and ammunition.
Oh, my God.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from. So anyway, so I let him inside, and we had these kind of three virgin guards inside who, you know, the dictator, the character that I'm playing, he's protected at all times by 25 virgin guards. I check their virginity every night with the head of my penis. He's got these guards, and basically I said, all right, you want to check the car? Fine. You know, strip search me and strip search the girls. And the cop suddenly got really embarrassed and gave up.
Well done.
Searching the car. And so we managed to get it in there, you know.
Well played.
That was hilarious.
And then, as my partner Bean says, you dumped on Ryan Seacrest, which I don't think he meant exactly that way. But you did dump the ashes.
Not exactly. That would have been
that would have been better.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened at other times, but not
and he was not happy, which, again, as a comedian, must have been the best possible reaction you could have ever hoped for.
You know, I was kind of surprised because he's meant to be so unflappable, and then I just saw him, like, really, you know, incredibly shocked.
Well, at the end of the day, it was just like a bit of flour on his jacket. So.
Right, right. But you have to understand, he's a guy who takes himself pretty seriously, and getting ashes dumped on you must have at least, I would have at least paused for a second and said, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, you know, I actually afterwards, I sent him a new jacket.
Sweet. Very nice.
And it had a little label inside, you know, made by child labor in the country of Wadi Ar.
This is the voice of actor Sacha Baron Cohen here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his film called The Dictator that opens up everywhere on Wednesday. Kevin, I believe we have a clip.
We do. This is you, and I'm not positive. I'm sorry, but I think you're talking to Anna Faris. And,
yes, that's right.
And you're describing to her how funny it is that she wants to go to school.
You seem educated.
Yes, I went to Amherst.
I love it when women go to school. It's like seeing a monkey on the roller skates. It means nothing to them, but it's so adorable for us.
Oh, my God.
Will this film play in the Middle East, Sasha?
It's been banned in most Middle Eastern countries.
Nicely done!
Yeah, and it just got banned from China today.
Congratulations!
I mean, the interesting thing... Yeah, at the moment, the only dictatorship showing it is Venezuela. So,
as a filmmaker, though, who's making a movie for a major studio, when they say China, the largest market in the world, is not going to be able to see your movie, that's not really good news, though, is it?
Yeah, well, it's bad news for them. I mean, personally, I don't really care.
You don't really care, exactly.
China steals movies anyways. They don't need to pay for it. But
yeah, you'll be huge in the BitTorrent world.
They download it, right.
Well, as we said when we brought you on, and we know we're in our remaining seconds here, anytime you're in a movie, whether you're acting like in Hugo and you were terrific in that, or one of your characters like the Bruno or the Borat or the Ali G, we're so excited to have you back. Because you're one of those guys who disappears. We don't hear from you for a couple of years, and then it's just so we're so happy to have you back. But we can't wait to see The Dictator tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming on K-Rock today.
Thank
we always
you
love
very
talking
much
to you.
For having me on again.
Thank you, Sasha.
You bet.
We'll talk to you soon. Bean, do you have the scare everybody in the world stab that we could use for this?
Yeah.
All right, let me do the headline first. Your eyelashes could kill you. This is from Channel 2 last night.
Hands it off for Penner. Bounce it back. Carter scores!
Oh, I'm sorry. That was NBC Sports. I apologize. That was a Kings game.
I was confused.
Yeah. No, this is from Channel 2 last night. Your eyelash extensions...
Oh, come on.
Could kill you.
This is pretty serious.
This is very important.
Now, why? How? I can't imagine.
I'm exaggerating a little with could kill you.
Could you go blind?
But the way they teased it, the way they teased it all day was pretty much that.
They're going to attack you?
Yeah, pretty much they're going to turn on you all at once.
Do they grow too fast and strangle you in your sleep?
And choke you out. Here's the report from Channel 2.
If the eyes are the windows to the soul... And I think this is much too deep for this, but I'm going to continue. Then eyelash extensions are becoming the window treatment that enhance their beauty.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
Really?
Wow.
You hear that guy? He's so... You can tell that these people hate this job.
This is sweeps time, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, it's the worst.
I think that they probably don't see the copy before it comes up in the teleprompter or something, and they just look at it and go, oh, really? Now I have to read this and make it sound good?
Yeah.
Wow.
But as CBS 2's Sabila Vargas shows us, that luscious set of lashes might leave your eyelids bare if you're not careful.
Not bare, no!
I would like to suggest that this is not news. Just a suggestion, just putting it out there.
But a lot of people are doing it, Kevin.
My eyelashes were very average eyelashes. They're not particularly thick. They're not overly thin.
When Tiffany Howard from Encino heard rave reviews from friends about eyelash extensions, she had to try them.
So they're taking glue, and they're gluing on individual lashes onto your own eyelashes.
Did you know this was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard
been going
of
this.
Glue?
They're quite
gluing
a few
them
years.
On? Did they glue them on?
Yeah, and they last
very
about
popular.
6 weeks, and they cost a fortune.
Huh.
She says waking up with bold lashes was worth the money.
I have no makeup on, and you can see in this photo that my eyes are popping.
My eyes are popping.
It's pretty cool, let me tell you.
They're popping.
It does look good, I have to confess.
Would you say that the eyes are popping?
I still don't understand the downside, though. It seems like you buy them, you put them on, they look good. How do they kill
you? There's a dark, dark side.
She also loved the time she saved applying mascara, but after a few weeks, the glamour grew out.
I could feel when I would blink like that, I could feel the glue.
But that wasn't even her main concern.
Uh-oh.
But what I didn't realize was that in doing that, the good lashes, the real lashes, were coming out with the extensions.
Tiffany says she was left with gaps on her eyelids, and it took months before her natural lashes grew back.
She was left with gaps in her eyelids, people.
God.
How is she supposed to exist?
How are you not told that from the beginning? That is tragic.
Her eyes are
bonkers.
She's not alone, according to this beauty insider who chose not to be identified.
Now, this is funny because it's a, quote, beauty insider, and they do it like a mafia boss, where they put him in, like, in a shadow so you can't see who it is. Yes. She doesn't want to be known as the person who's blowing the whistle on the fake eyelashes.
Eyelash extensions are the latest addiction. I've seen many women that have lost their eyelashes, and once they stop using them, now they have less eyelashes, and I don't see them coming back.
Oh. Dr. Wendy Lee, an eye surgeon, says she's seeing this from patients more and more.
The most common complaint, and I hear it a lot, is that women end up with shorter, stubbier lashes, or even no lashes after they take these off.
I have a question.
And then it becomes a vicious cycle because they don't want to stop the lash extension.
I have a question.
It's like heroin, people.
It is.
How long?
You start with this, you go right to heroin.
Where is Gloria Allred? Are the Senate hearings?
How many people have they interviewed already? Four? Five?
It does seem like they're putting all of their resources into this eyelash story.
You understand? They end up with stubby lashes.
Bean, you're missing the importance.
Sorry.
There's 20 more seconds, Bean.
In order to grow their natural lashes back.
You know, it was enough to say, I will never do this again.
Of course, there are beauticians who say they can preserve your natural lashes, but for now, Tiffany has just one tip for beautiful eyes.
Find a fabulous mascara.
Here you go.
That was it.
What
a scoop. Channel 2 just won the sweeps war.
And it really climaxed, didn't it, when they said find a good mascara?
Shocking.
I should kick your ass for wasting my time.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin and Bean are both on vacation this week. They'll be back Monday. In the meanwhile, we're playing the best of Kevin and Bean. However, I am doing live showbiz beats each and every hour, along with my good friend Omar Khan on the other side of the console, pushing the buttons for me. Thank you, Omar.
You're welcome.
And Beer Mugs also here.
Yeah. Good friend as well.
Beer Mugs also here. A guy named Beer Mugs also here. This Saturday night, I want to give you a heads up. If you want to see Hollywood Babylon, I'm doing it with John Lovitz this weekend. Lovitz and I doing it at his very same comedy club, the John Lovitz Club, up at Universal City Walk, 10 p.m. Saturday night. You can get tickets at thelovitz.com or at babbleonralph.com. Lovitz is pinch hitting because Kevin Smith's out of town this weekend. I can't wait to talk to Lovitz because he was at the Playboy Mansion 4th of July party yesterday.
Oh, wow.
That's got to be a party, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Because, first of all, we've been to parties at the mansion.
Yeah.
Not the party parties, the ones that Hef throws, but they'll rent the space out or you can have a party up there. Sometimes, Playboy will do an event associated with the magazine or some publicity event, and you get a chance to go. And it's a cool place to go to a party.
Yeah, just check it out.
But I've never been to one of the parties that Hef throws.
Yeah.
And 4th of July is one of them. But can you imagine the girls around that pool playing volleyball and stuff?
And in the grotto
and everything that happens there?
Body paint, just...
So I'm going to be grilling him on Saturday night about what his 4th of July was like. I'm guessing it was very different than my own.
Yeah?
Which was basically the block party in Studio City there that they have every year, which is very fun. And kids running around and running over your feet on little bikes.
Right.
And hot dogs and, cookies. And then I had a grilled in my backyard for some friends in my family. There was no girls in bikinis or anything. No,
I think it was very different then.
My daughter used the potty for the first time.
Oh!
It was very exciting.
Cool.
But here's my fear is, though, she finally went pee-pee in the potty. And there was an enormous celebration over that because when they start to housebreak, that's not the correct phrase at all. When they're potty trained,
right?
You're supposed to give them an enormous amount of positive reinforcement when they do it.
Absolutely.
But then I realized this poor kid, she went on the potty, and then there were fireworks, and then there was a parade, and we had a backyard barbecue, and people were coming by and stuff. I'd say, this kid's going to have an overblown sense of worth because she's going to think every little achievement she's had, we're going to set off fireworks and throw a parade for her.
So, that's funny.
I'm concerned. While we're talking about 4th of July parties. Howie Mandel apparently had quite a 4th of July party at his home in Calabasas. Great story on TMZ.com this morning. He called the cops this morning around 1 a.m. because he heard people having sex in his bathroom.
Was it you?
It was not me, no. I guess he was having a party that went quite late. He was walking past his bathroom and heard the sounds of sex. He was afraid it might have been a sexual assault. Maybe the girl sounded like she wasn't into it or something. So he called 911. The cops show up. They go into the bathroom. They pull out two people, a male and a female, both 21. And it turns out they had just had a few cocktails and got a little carried away and decided to knock it out in Howie's bathroom. My favorite part of the story is, you know, Howie Mandel is a legendary germaphobe.
Yeah.
So how panic-stricken is he now about that bathroom? God.
He's got to set it on fire.
He does. He's got to burn his house down. Because who knows where they were doing it, on the countertop or on the toilet or in the shower or whatever.
Freaking out.
He's just looking around like it's just a cornucopia of bodily fluids in that room.
That is
he's got to be losing his mind, right?
Got to buy a new house.
Great stuff. More talk, of course, about Tomcat, the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes divorce. Interesting event this weekend, a blind gossip site, which is a site, as you can imagine by the name, they post blind gossip items, which, if you're not familiar with the phrase, means it's a gossip item where they allude to someone without actually using their name. I guess it protects them legally. But blind gossip posted a site this weekend about what divorcing celebrity couple was there in which a wife and child once walked in on the husband in bed with a professional athlete slash family friend. Now, two other gossip sites, Jezebel and World of Wonder, both did the math, and they have announced, they figured it out, that it's David Beckham and Tom Cruise.
That is crazy.
And perhaps Katie and Suri came home to that at some point in the marriage. TMZ.com also has a great story about Katie. We're leaving the marriage because of Scientology, but apparently there was a straw that broke the camel's back in 2005. Sources say Katie saw some other kids, Tom's kids, apparently, participating in a Scientology ritual where they're broken down. They are interrogated, basically police style, while holding this e-meter, which is supposed to measure your emotions. And these are some of the questions that Tom's own kids were asked while Tom witnessed. What has someone told you not to tell? Have you ever decided you did not like some member of your family? Have you ever bullied a smaller child? Have you ever lied to a teacher? Have you ever done anything you were very much ashamed of? And they just grilled these kids.
That's brutal.
And she said, sources are saying Suri witnessed that and decided that her daughter, Katie saw that,
right,
and decided that Suri would never have to go through that. So
good for her.
Another reason why she's backing out of the marriage.
Wow.
Disturbing stuff. Congratulations to Linkin Park. They are the number one album on Billboard's 200 albums chart, Living Things. Debuted at number one this week, sold 223,000 copies. Made it number one. Number two was Maroon 5's new album, Overexposed. Justin Bieber was knocked from number one to number three, a 70% drop in sales since its debut week.
Good.
Which means it blows, right? People,
yep,
are figuring it out quickly. Also in the top 10 of albums, R. Kelly's Write Me Back in his debut. He posted number five. Kenny Chesney, Adele's 21, still on the list of top 10, believe it or not. Number 7, One Direction's Up All Night is 8th. Usher's Looking for Myself was 9th. And then the Rock of Ages soundtrack, apparently number 10. Take a look at the top 10 movies. No, we won't. Feels like a Monday,
okay,
but
yeah,
it's not.
It does.
Just a quick movie note, though. Spider-Man did very well for itself in its opening day, which was Tuesday, the 3rd of July. $35 million alone. That's when it opened, beating the previous record holder, Transformers, which made $27 million in 2007 on that same day, just before the 4th of July. So they're expecting a huge box office number for Spider-Man by the end of the weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robbie Robertson is 69 years old today. Huey Lewis, 62. That's right. Hip to be square. Yeah, who wants to be there at that Playboy Mansion with all those hot chicks in bikinis? No, it's hip to be square in my backyard in my flip-flops,
woo,
grilling burgers. Mark Cohn, singer, songwriter, 53 years old today. Edie Falco from The Sopranos. She was, what was Mrs. Soprano's wife on that show? Anyone remember her first
Carmel
name?
Carmel.
Carmella. Okay. That's very well done. Nice. Beer mug. She's also Nurse Jackie on the same show. 49 years old today. Dave Haywood of Lady Antebellum turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, let's talk about you got in trouble with Twitter. I don't know if you saw this story. There were a couple from England that was coming over to the United States, and they were talking about how they were going to party. They were really excited. They were going to come tear it up.
Okay.
So they were tweeting, and they used a couple of the wrong words. And it got the attention of the authorities here in the United States. So what they did was they said that they were going to, quote, destroy America, which to them means party like crazy. That's, you know, that's what they meant. And, quote, dig up Marilyn Monroe as an example of how crazy and wacky things are going to get. So when they landed, the Department of Homeland Security flagged them.
Oh, man.
Took them off the plane, interviewed them for 5 hours at LAX, held them overnight in a jail cell.
What could they possibly... I mean, wouldn't you just have to talk to them for an hour and realize that they were just goofing around?
You would think. They spent 12 hours in separate jails. And then they were driven back to the airport and sent back to England.
You're kidding.
No.
And by the way, that means Homeland Security is reading all our tweets?
Well.
Like if they get certain words?
There are key words. Destroy is one of them.
That will destroy America?
Yeah. Which will get their attention. There are other words that the Department of Homeland Security has since, you know, said, hey, perhaps you should avoid these words. Here's the list. Illegal immigrant, outbreak, drill, strain, virus, recovery, deaths, collapse.
What?
Listen to this one. Human to animal and Trojan.
Trojan man.
These are words that the government is...
These are keywords.
Keywords.
That make them look closer.
The Department of Homeland Security will check your tweet.
What Trojan? Like a Trojan horse?
I guess. I don't know. But this brought up the topic of you got in trouble with Twitter. I can't imagine that you got in this much trouble with your tweet.
Are terrorists tweeting publicly?
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't they, like, I don't know, text each other or something?
We are going to destroy America. I don't know. That just seems odd. But the Department of Homeland Security is taking no chances, apparently.
Yeah.
So
okay. They
gave them the once over, 5 hours in the airport, 12 hours overnight.
Sent them home.
Sent them back home.
So they are not partying like there's no tomorrow.
Correct.
In America.
Correct.
Maybe they just decided they were douchebags.
That could be. We just don't want them here. This is what the woman had to say.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
So we're not sure what that means.
Yeah.
But
well, I can see the
so
point.
You got in trouble with Twitter is what we want to talk to you about right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you were tweeting and somebody got the wrong idea.
It has to happen all the time.
This is clearly the Department of Homeland Security getting the wrong idea. Although, you know what? It looks, on the surface of it, I would say this is absurd. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if they talked to him for 5 hours... And then held them overnight and sent them back. It seems like there had to be a little
something.
There
was a problem somewhere.
A little something more than just they used the wrong language and they wanted to party.
I don't know.
It doesn't really say. The article makes it seem like it was completely innocent and it was a complete misunderstanding. And they just basically got sent back to England and weren't allowed in the United States. And I imagine probably banned from the United States. They're probably on the no-fly list or whatever.
Forever. That's it. They're done.
I mean, I don't think you can get banned one time and then come back.
I wouldn't think so either.
Can you?
I wouldn't think so. I can imagine, like, people don't even think. It's like Facebook. You don't even think anymore about what you're tweeting. Like, if you lie to someone, yeah, I can't go out with you on Wednesday because I have this thing. And then you completely forget about it and you're out with your friends and you tweet about that. I mean, that kind
of
stuff.
Hey,
and you totally get busted.
You said you were going to be someplace else.
Yeah. You were going to be at your mom's having dinner.
I can imagine. We've gotten in trouble from the radio station for tweets that we put out there. That they don't like.
Yeah.
You know, because you're representing somebody, so you...
Well, I imagine in any corporation, that's got to be an issue.
Well, and that's the thing. Is your company reading your tweets? I'll bet they are. I'll bet people have gotten fired. I bet people have talked bad about employers or people that in the workplace.
Right.
Where they make fun of certain things and they mock certain things. And then, you know, that's out there in public. Like you said, just like Facebook. Either way, you can do it. I mean, Facebook has the exact same... idea is that you can share your thoughts with the entire world. You can put it out there for everybody to see, and you just don't think that it's going to actually have consequences.
Didn't we have a a situation not too long ago where someone thought they were tweeting personal naked photos, and it actually ended up being public.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who it was. I thought it was a celebrity. Like, I can't remember who it
was. I don't
know,
but I love that. I love that so
much. People do that, too. They think they're doing a private message, and it's not.
It turns out it was not private.
It was not private.
It turns out it's a public message.
It's a basic misunderstanding of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you got in trouble with Twitter, somehow your tweet got you in trouble with a boyfriend, with a wife, with a husband,
with work. Yeah.
With friends, you lied about something, and then you forgot to cover your tracks or whatever.
It's so hard to keep all my lies
straight.
It is.
That's the problem. Is you have to lie a certain amount to get through life.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
You really do. You have to tell some lies. Oh, I'd love to do that with you, but I got this thing. And then you mentioned whatever thing it is, and then you forgot that you lied, and so then you have to keep up the act.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067. You got in trouble with Twitter. One of your tweets got you in trouble at work or with a friend. We'll take your phone calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean. It is 6:37. We're talking about people who got in trouble with tweeting. Lisa, you had two celebrity?
Well, I think these one of them anyway, got in trouble for this. I now remember Dean McDermott, who's married to Tori Spelling.
Yes.
You guys might remember this. He tweeted a photo and didn't realize his wife in the photo was standing in the background with her
That's right. She was way in the background, but she was naked.
Oops.
Yeah.
And then also Anna Lynn McCord accidentally tweeted a photo to a fan and had a bare breast in it and didn't realize that. I don't know how you don't, but I guess they're so little maybe when you send it.
You're just picking a
photo and if you don't enlarge it.
You're not paying that close of attention.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best case scenario.
It happens. What are you going to do?
That's the best case scenario right there.
Yep.
Let's start with Morris. Hi, Morris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you. You got in trouble with tweeting?
Yeah. Actually, I was flirting with several girls at a time, and I just didn't care enough to cover any of it up. So what ended up happening is that now I'm living into my car.
What? You're moving into your car?
I live in my car currently, yes.
Where were you living before?
I was living in the MacArthur Park area.
With your girlfriend?
So she actually kind of did me a favor by leaving me, though, because now I can live as a pirate, which is what I love to do.
Oh, so you're saying that you had a girlfriend at the time and you were tweeting other girls and hitting on them.
Yeah.
Girlfriend found out, kicked you out.
Yeah, and took everything with her.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm lucky, aren't I?
Living in your car. I didn't expect it to go that poorly.
That's sweet.
That really sucks.
All right, good times. Enjoy that. Have a good shower. Thank you, Morris. I am, actually. He made it sound like it was better.
It's a big camping adventure.
Dave reminds me, Haley Williams, member of Paramore, thought she was direct messaging her boyfriend with that photo.
Yep.
That's a good photo.
It was a good one. We all saw it.
I like that. Let's go to Renee. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
You got in trouble with Twitter.
I did. Not in the same kind of terms of, exposing myself or anything, but I actually got fired.
You got fired?
I did. I'm an event photographer, and I was doing a big corporate Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And in my personal account, not even my business account, I tweeted something along the lines of, gosh, could these people be any, bigger jerkwads? I'm sure I used more colorful language than that.
Yeah.
Didn't mention the corporation or anything, and they still found it.
So they,
I don't know if they have people monitoring or...
They must have been searching for your name on Twitter to just kind of do a background check of some kind.
I guess, but you would think they would do that before they hire me and supposed to during the event.
So they hired you already. It was during the event. And how did you find out that they were going to fire you?
No, I was called after. This is an event I had done,
a few years
in a row. I did their event photography and I was asked not to come back.
I see, because you were bad-mouthing them. See,
yeah, not the client, the people I was photographing.
Right. It doesn't matter, of course, but you sort of think that your own private Twitter account is your own private Twitter account.
You really would,
and I don't even know how they would tie you in with your business.
Especially, I didn't even mention their company's name.
Right.
I didn't mention the event that I was at, nothing.
And they still found out, and they still fired you.
They did.
Wow.
That sucks.
But
sweet.
I'm not homeless and,
and
my boobs are all over the internet.
At least you're not living in the car with your boobs out there.
Not living in my car, no.
Good way to look at it, Renee.
That is good news. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
All right. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:08.
Sounded like you were going to say something else.
It did to me, too. And then I realized I had nothing else.
Uh-huh. Kevin, I feel badly for you here. I think about how tough it must be to be you and to go through your life and to survive and get dressed in the morning and find your keys and drive to work and raise a family. And then I see a story like this that we're about to talk about little Heidi Hankins, and I think, well, this is just piling on. This is just sad at this point.
Is this a joke? I mean, are they doing this to make people like me feel bad?
No, it's just a real news story, and I don't really understand very much about how Mensa works. That's the organization. I guess it's for super smart people that test at a certain IQ level. I don't really even understand how IQ works because she's 4. So it's not like they gave her the same test they gave high schoolers and found out that she scored well on it. I mean, she's 4. Right?
Mensa is an organization that only allows people in the top 2% of IQ points in.
Mm-hmm.
This 4-year-old has been let in.
Wow.
Yes. She has an IQ of 159, which is just below Albert Einstein. 100 is considered average. And she's just one of these kids who, you know, learned to read. I mean, she learned to read at 1.5 years. She had a good vocabulary and was speaking well at 1, for instance. Her father says that he bought her the complete Oxford Reading Tree books when she was 2, and she read through the entire set of them in about an hour. In other words, about what you'd expect a 7-year-old to do in terms of reading comprehension. And it just goes on and on and on with all this stuff that this kid does. She's 4 years old. Like, what's up with this?
You have her on the phone if you want to talk to her. King of Mexico.
What? Little Heidi?
Yes.
Little Heidi's on the line with us right now? Heidi Hankins? Hi, Heidi. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're fine. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations on being a Mensa member.
Thank you. It's very nice of you, and I appreciate it.
Okay. What does it mean? I mean, what do you do in Mensa? What's there's responsibility come with that, or meetings, or a parade, or an outfit, or what do you get?
Yeah, you get a parade and an outfit. I'm just teasing. The best part of being in Mensa is you don't have to hang out with people if ask if you get a parade or an outfit.
I would draw the question. I am not in the group.
You talk to other smart people.
Yeah,
and we all
right.
get together in meetings.
Oh, you have meetings, okay. And then what do? You just talk about how smart you are?
No, we talk about things that interest us, like science, and about reading the books we've been reading, and we just share it with each other.
Okay. What kind of books do you like at age 4?
Mostly pornography.
Whoa.
Sorry, geography.
Geography. It's different.
Read that wrong.
Very big difference.
Right.
Okay, down here. I'm sorry, I'm busy and you're interrupting me, so I'm a little distracted.
What's happening? Because I hear it sounds like maybe a bath in the background.
No, it's not a bath. Whirlpool. I'm working on stem cell research right now.
Stem cell research.
I'm having a problem with the cellular degeneration of the blastocysts. You know, when you get zygotic separation, it's hard sometimes to keep the cellular construction in regiment form.
I don't know.
Can you dumb that down for us?
Heidi, do things very, very smart, good things.
Right. Okay, then I got it.
Okay, now I got it.
Twit.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up, Heidi?
Not bored by people like you.
Well, you don't have to have an attitude.
I'm so tired of people like you calling me up. Oh, you're so smart, Heidi. Can we talk to you? Yeah, you can talk to me, but you won't understand what I'm saying, will you? Because you're freaking stupid.
Okay, but you don't have to be an a-hole just because you're smart.
You don't have to be an a-hole because you're dumb, but that's just the way things work out, isn't it?
I don't think I have a choice.
No, you don't, and nor do I. Only my problem is I'm so much more painfully aware how stupid you are.
Oh, wow. This doesn't sound like fun at all.
It isn't fun for me, trust me, because all I do is talk to Neanderthals like you all day long. Ooh, do you get a parade or an outfit? And I try to be nice, and I try to sound like a 4-year-old, but you just sound bloody dumb.
Well, it's hard to argue.
I'm sorry, I just went poopy in my pants.
Oh. Hey, party people, it's 8:45 on a Thursday morning. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. They'll be back on Monday, but some of us are still here working at the station, yours included. I'm doing live Showbiz Beats every hour, and I was talking last hour in the Showbiz Beat about my 4th of July. Everyone here at the station who's working today is a little rough, a little worse for wear because the holiday fell in the middle of the week. And I was talking about the fact that although I'm tired, I didn't have a crazy 4th of July. I was barbecuing for some people in the backyard and we had a little neighborhood event that we went to. And my
And my daughter finally is starting potty training. She went to pee-pee in the potty for the first time, which is very exciting. And then I compared my 4th of July weekend to my good friend John Lovett's 4th of July party, which was held at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, very different.
So I thought I'd get Mr. Lovett's on the phone. John?
Hello, Ralph.
Hello, John Lovett.
Garmin.
How are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
I wasn't misspeaking when I said that you went to the Playboy Mansion for the 4th of July party yesterday. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Amundo.
Now, why would they let someone of your stature into the Playboy Mansion party for the 4th
of
July?
I don't know, because there's so many girls there, and then you send someone up like me.
Yes.
You know, there's way more women than men, and then I go up there, and then it's just, it's not fair to the other guys.
It isn't? Were you swarmed?
Well, yes.
You know, yeah, sure.
Like a bee to honey.
What do you think it is about you that attracts women the most, John?
What about me?
Yeah, what is it about you that makes you so irresistible to playmates?
Well, you know, women always say the most important thing in a man is the sense of humor.
Right.
Which, of course, I think we all know is a bunch of crap.
That's right, yes.
But so I would have to go with, hung and money.
Hung and money. Wow, that's a good combination. How was the party? Was it awesome?
Yeah, it's actually very tame. It's very nice. I mean, you know, there's beautiful girls running around in bathing suits, and they have volleyball, and they have good food, and I've been going up there for years now. They have a movie night on Sunday, and it's the same group of friends. And so, I mean, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, and I'll tell you, the thing about Hugh Hefner is a sense of being a liberal. He doesn't really judge anybody. You know, a lot of his friends are conservative Republicans or whatever. He doesn't care. You're up there, and he just wants you to have a good time, and you're not being judged at all. So you just feel very comfortable, and it's exciting. You know, it's fun. And it's a beautiful, the backyard is just beautiful, you know.
Did you get any?
Any food?
Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about. A little,
yeah. I had a hamburger and a hot dog. And
such a disappointment. Hey, listen, I was telling the folks you're going to
All right, fine. Three women raped me in the grotto.
Yeah!
It's not rape if you say yes, John.
Oh.
I was telling the folks that you're going to be my partner up at your club there on Saturday night for the Hollywood Babylon show, 10 p.m. Saturday night up at the Lovett's. I wanted people to come out and see us.
Yeah, I love doing it. I mean, it's your show, but you're so talented with the voices and everything. Of course, you usually do it with Kevin Smith, but, you know, I'm honored. He's great in the show, and so, you know, I feel honestly honored and privileged to substitute for him.
Well, people love it when
you do. We have a blast, though. It's great.
Yeah, people love it when you sit in. And also, you're doing a show tomorrow night at the same club, at your club.
Yeah,
right?
Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, I'm doing a stand-up show with myself and Tim Meadows and Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live. And then we're going to start touring all over the country doing different casinos.
Great.
So we're kicking it off at 8 o'clock at the John Lovett's Comedy Club and Podcast Theater.
Well, you can.
And then I have my own podcast on the ToadHopNetwork.com, Love It with Slayton, with Bobby Slayton, which is funny.
Yeah, Bobby's a frequent guest on our show as well. So if you want to see John, you can see him tomorrow night at the club at 8 p.m., or you can see me and him Saturday night at 10. We're doing Babylon as well.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's funny, but whatever you think of me, Ralph's hilarious. I mean, you got to see him in a club and do all his impressions. It's great.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. I'll see you this weekend, man.
Okay, thank you, Ralph.
Thanks for spending some time. All
sure.
Right. Take care.
Bye.
Damn. Guy gets to go up to the Playboy Mansion, see all those chicks.
Yeah, I got a hot dog. Yeah.
It's movie night. Screw you. Those are babes. He's the man.
Disappointment.
Spider-Man is the man. Actually, did a great, great numbers over the holiday. The Amazing Spider-Man opened the day before 4th of July and broke a record. $35 million alone on that Tuesday on July 3rd. That beats the Transformers record, which was $27 million. For first day grosses. So by the end of the weekend, no word on how much money The Amazing Spider-Man will have made, but they've already confirmed that this is the beginning of a new trilogy.
Yeah.
So we got at least two more, which if my math is right, I mean 2016 will be the Spider-Man 3 of this trilogy will be coming out.
Wow.
And Andrew Garfield will be 57 years old by that point, so it's going to be hard to believe he is in high school. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes divorce. Of course, everyone's talking about that. A lot of news trickling in. Perhaps the most disturbing stuff is that Katie Holmes left the marriage because she was afraid for the well-being, emotional and intellectual well-being of her daughter, Suri. There's an interesting story in TMZ.com. You can check it out. But apparently, Katie witnessed Tom's other kids that he had with Nicole Kidman. They adopted going through an interrogation that was part of the Scientology process. And she was so disturbed by that, she made plans about a year ago to start leaving the relationship and to rescue her daughter from being subjected to that sort of thing. So you can read about it on TMZ.com, but kind of disturbing stuff. And I hope this is – if that is the case, if it happens to be true, you have to take it with a grain of salt, then I think Katie Holmes absolutely did the right thing in getting her daughter out of there. Lindsay Lohan in the news. She has wrapped up principal photography on that Elizabeth Taylor biography film she was making for Lifetime Network. Liz and Dick, it's called. And Lindsay said she loved the Liz part and even loved the Dick part. Her co-star was a lot of fun, so she really enjoyed herself. But she's all done with that project. She got through it. She lived through a movie. Barely. I mean, she did plow into a semi.
Yeah.
And she did party a lot, but she got through it. So I guess it's proof that she can work again. So congratulations to Lindsay Lohan on surviving her film. Congratulations also to our friends in Linkin Park. They have the number one CD in the world right now, at least according to a Billboard Top 200 albums list. Living Things debuted at number one. Maroon 5 debuted at number two. Overexposed, that CD. Those two in combination knocked Justin Bieber out of number one. He's down to three with Believe. And then Maybach Music Group presents Self-Made 2, which is a compilation, was four. And then R. Kelly, in his debut, is back on the charts with Write Me Back, his new CD. Enough with that. Enough with the Write Me Back. Where's the Locked in the Closet?
Yeah, Trapped in the Closet.
Trapped in the Closet.
Yeah, we need that.
Sorry, I was thinking about Tom Cruise and Locked in the Closet. We need more episodes from that. And Howie Mandel, great story. We're talking about 4th of July parties. My daughter, Pete, was great. Lovitz was at the Playboy Mansion. Howie Mandel had a 4th of July party that lasted apparently well into this morning, because TMZ.com is reporting around 1 a.m. he called the cops, claiming that he heard strange sexual noises coming from his own bathroom and was afraid it might be a sexual assault. So he called 911. Hey, first of all, at that point, don't you just knock on the door and say, hey, you guys okay? Everything all right in there? Do you have to call 911? Do you have to call the cops? How much of a pussy is Howie Mandel? Anyway, he called the cops. They showed up. They hauled out a guy and a girl from the bathroom who were 21 years old, and they confessed that they had a few cocktails and just got horny, and they just wanted to knock it out. So the cops let them both go, and all was well, except for Howie, who is a legendary germaphobe, and now he's got fluids all over his bathroom that he's going to spin out about.
He's just freaking out.
I remember I knocked it out once in Kevin's bathroom, and he got all spun out about
it.
It was a New Year's Eve party. He got all weirded out. Like, relax, man.
Yeah.
Worst things have been done in that bathroom than sex. I guarantee
it. Totally.
Knowing Kevin, he's destroyed it a couple times. I should be the one that freaked out, not him. Today's celebrity birthdays, musician Robbie Robertson from The Band is 69 years old. Mark Cohn, I guess Walking in Memphis is probably his biggest hit. Great singer and songwriter, 53 years old. Edie Falco from Nurse Jackie and The Sopranos is 49. Dave Haywood from Lady Antebellum turns 30. And Jimmy Kimmel's favorite musician of all time, Huey Lewis, celebrates his birthday today.
I want a new drug. One that does what it should. One that won't make me feel too bad. One that won't make me feel too good.
Oh, Jimmy loves his Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis, 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Did I say zombies? Yes. The undead who walk among us, devouring the innocent and spreading their foul condition through the ranks of humanity.
They're mindless walking corpses, zombies, man. They creep me out.
I can hear them. They're always out there. It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Any zombies out there?
Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness.
The dead who live on living flesh.
They're a guided weapon. Once they lock on you, they're going to come after you until one of two things happens. Either they're destroyed or you are.
Bad news, guys. It's on. The zombie apocalypse is happening. It's no longer the stuff of the future. It's no longer fantasy. It's no longer just on TV. It's here and it's happening. And we need a plan and we need one now. Are you with me?
Most of it is happening in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. When we saw the bath salts guy who ate the other guy's face, I thought, well, it's in Florida. It'll take him a long time to cover 3,000 miles. And now it's in Maryland, which is, you know, about the same distance from us. But still, it's on the move. Listen to this. In yet another horrifying incident of human flesh eating this week, a student in Maryland allegedly admitted to devouring his roommate's brain and heart.
Ralph points out, and rightfully so, that these are people who are alive, which means they're cannibals. They're not zombies. Do we care?
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
as far as we know. Right. I think you made an excellent point, though, which is you're going to want to stay away from the cannibals just as much as you're going to stay away from the zombies. You need as much of a plan to stop this guy from eating your heart as you do from a zombie from eating your heart.
Maybe even more.
I think if a cannibal...
you can't spot him.
If a cannibal comes to my house to eat my brain, I'm not going to go, oh, you're not a zombie, come on in.
Right, exactly.
So I still need the same escape plan.
This guy, Alexander Cunha, 21 years old, by the way, he murdered his roommate. The man's father called police late Tuesday night when another family member reportedly found human remains, the head and two hands of the roommate, in a metal tin in the basement. The brother and father left the room for a short time. When they came back, the body parts had been moved, and Kenya was washing out the tin. Then he confessed this shocking revelation. Not only had he killed his roommate by cutting him up with a knife and then dismembering him, he had ingested parts of the victim's brain and all of his heart. It is on... What's the plan? Seriously, I'm taking notes. What are we doing? What's the deal here?
Now, we've done this before, and it was shocking the first time we did this to find out the number of people who have, literally have, an escape plan for the zombies.
Yes, it's in place.
They thought about
They're
it.
They're ready to go.
Not only are they just a little worried about it, they've got a plan.
As you should, just like you should be prepared in the event of an actual earthquake. These things might just happen, and the people who don't have a plan, you know what they call them? Dead.
Dead, yeah. Zombies, that's what you call them. We somehow got Cat Corbett out of bed this early. I'm not sure how. Cat, good morning.
I'll tell you how. We caught her on her way home. That's how. Hi, beautiful. How are you?
I hope a zombie attack happens at 5 p.m. because I'll be ready.
So we were talking exactly about this yesterday, and you piped up with the fact that you have a zombie escape plan.
Yeah, I'm a huge zombie person, and, you know, everybody should have a zombie kit at home.
I
tell everybody it's my earthquake kit so they don't think I'm nuts.
And what's in it? What's in your kit?
Yeah, what's in the zombie kit?
Well, you know, it's like similar earthquake stuff. Like, you want to have a little first aid thing and, like, a flashlight, you know.
An axe.
Matches. I have a crowbar, you know, the cricket mallet, the croquet mallet.
Yeah.
What do you have a croquet mallet that was going to take like 10 hits to get him to die? Why don't you get something stronger like an axe?
No, I mean, you know, I need a machete is what I need. I just don't want to buy one.
Machete, all right.
That's what I need.
Look, part of the problem for me is that there have been a lot of different representations of zombies over the years between movies and television. I mean, right now I'm thinking Walking Dead, and I feel like I need a gun. I really do feel like that's the way to go, is to shoot them in the head. I feel like without a gun, I don't have much chance on my own with just me and my croquet mallet of taking on a zombie.
The problem is guns are loud, and they signal more zombies to come to you.
But, and if I've learned anything from The Walking Dead, the value of a gun is that it scares everybody and they run off. That's the value of a gun, but not zombies. You shoot one guy, the next guy...
They just keep coming.
They just keep coming.
Yeah.
So you're going to run out of bullets. That's why you need an axe or a machete.
Where are you going to be? Are you fortifying your own home for Zombie Central, or do you have another safe place that you're going to try to get to in the event of a breakout?
Well, here's the thing, and strangely, our promotions director, Aisa, and I came up with the same plan at the same time, and we compared notes, and we were all thinking the same thing. So after my house becomes unsafe, And I can say this aloud, but I'm not letting anybody in that doesn't have a key card. I'm going to K-Rock.
You're coming to the radio station.
Oh, really? Now, that makes a lot of sense because it is a fortified building with a couple of layers of fencing before you get to our front door, right?
And the fencing is curved out, so you can't climb up it.
Right. But what about the fact that... What about the fact that every person who's mentally ill is able to somehow get inside?
No, those are just the DJs, Kevin.
Does that not worry you?
Look, listen to the thing about K-Rock, right? You have the fence.
Yeah.
You have two huge generators for backup. All the windows are covered in steel grates.
Right.
Because we're in the hood.
Right. We have a flat roof that you can access from the inside where helicopters can land. Or
I like Mars.
She's thought this through.
You have a sniper rifle.
We definitely have enough Red Bull to last us a month.
That's
in
true.
There.
This makes a lot of sense. I mean, there are couches to sleep on. There's a working kitchen that has a refrigerator.
And there are cabinets with food that are locked so that we can break those open.
Right. Yeah, we have the microphones, which communication is going to be huge because we don't know if is the internet going to be working?
Right.
Good point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Good point. We could call for help or coordinate rescue efforts or whatever we need to do. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Let me ask you this question, and this is Kat Corbett talking about her zombie escape plan on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be taking your calls, too, with what you've got up at 1-800-520-1067. And this is a serious question, Kat, and I want a serious answer, okay?
Yes.
You know, the morning show is a little bit on the outside. We're a little bit of the team that you're embarrassed about. Has there been a meeting at K-Rock that we don't know about where it's been decided who gets to come to K-Rock and who doesn't?
A meeting.
Oh, no, we're out. See, that's what I was afraid of, Kevin.
We're out.
The whole morning show or just the guys?
Stryker and Sluggo and Nicole and everybody be yucking it up thinking about how Kevin and Bean are probably dead by now on the outside.
But, Kat, you'll let me in.
Yes?
Okay. Yes!
Yeah, Kevin did.
I'm saved! All right, we're going to take calls on your zombie escape plan. What are we missing here? What should we be doing? Because apparently it is happening. 1-800-520-1067. So what do you do now, Kat? Do you stay awake and come in to do your show, or do you try to go back to bed and sleep for another couple of hours?
I'm going to try to go back to sleep.
Okay.
Good luck.
Good luck with that. We'll see you soon.
Be productive.
Bye. See you later. Thank you, Kat.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls.
Come on, seriously. Stop.
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ. Nice. It's Kevin and Bean Show. Out a little pizza, learning about history.
Beer Bug's weigh-in is later on today, so Kevin is eating as much food as possible as he can in front of him.
Smells good, doesn't it?
There's pizza, there's donuts, there's cupcakes, there's ho-hos.
Help yourself, Muggs.
I can't.
No one's stopping you. It's all yours, man.
All for you.
7:25 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
KZMB, all zombie radio.
Talking about the upcoming zombie invasion. By the way, I'm getting a lot of emails from people who are saying, Bean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you made the right call. Zombies can't swim. Good job living on an island.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And I'm sorry to say there is no more room on the island. I'm sorry. We're all full up.
It's funny because you usually say that it's pretty empty.
Nope, full up. Huh. Let's go to Ethan real quick. He's on line 7. We're taking your zombie escape plan calls at 1-800-520-1067. And as Kevin mentioned a few minutes ago, every time we talk about this, this topic comes up like it has in the news recently, we find out that people have really given this a lot of thought. People have a plan.
The first time we were shocked by this, the first time we thought we'd get no calls or one person.
Or just a joke.
But these people have thought this through.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ethan, I think it sounds like you're really onto something. Can you share it with us, please?
Yeah, my plan is if there's a zombie outbreak, the first thing you can do, of course, is get supplies, guns, food, everything like that. But the second part of my plan, me and a couple friends actually work this all out together. We go to IKEA. It's a furniture store. The one in Burbank where I live, is the whole bottom floor is like a maze.
Okay.
And we're going to booby trap this whole maze, like kind of like they do in Call of Duty, like just whatever, explosives, like falling knives, whatever we can do.
Right.
Zombies come in there. Zombies are pretty stupid, so they're just going to run circles in the maze and get killed by everything.
Okay.
Nice. So everyone else just lives upstairs and like watches the cameras and laughs at
it. But aren't you going to be upstairs? But here's one thing you haven't thought of. Aren't you going to be upstairs trying to figure out how to put together a chair so you can sit?
No, there's tons of furniture on display at IKEA.
Oh, yeah, we see. Use the display stuff. We all live on the display stuff, and we send out scavengers for supplies, and then...
Oh, I hope the zombies aren't listening right now.
I think it's a great idea, but I will tell you that I think one of the problems that people aren't foreseeing is that everybody is going to be locking down their stuff. Like, the people in IKEA are not going to want to let more people in. I think that's going to be the hardest part, is talking your way into the store in the first place.
I'm not talking my way in, Bean. I'm shooting my way in.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you, Ethan. Let's go to Diego. He's got a place in Southern California that he thinks makes the most sense. He's on line 4, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show with his zombie plan. Diego, go ahead.
Hello, Diego.
Oh, Daniel. Hey. Oh, they call me Diego. It's Daniel.
Okay, Daniel.
Hey, buddy, people.
Hi.
It's Nick.
What's your plan?
My plan is to go to Santa Monica Pier.
Santa Monica Pier?
Yeah.
Is that because of the bottleneck entrance? There's only one way in, one way out?
Yeah, there's only one way in, and you say we see four or something, you know, blow it up the front entrance, and you're safe because zombies can't swim, like you guys said.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really smart to think about exits and entrances when you start looking for your location. And I think you made a good choice there, my friend. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
If your name really is Daniel. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was listening to your discussion just now when you were talking to Kat, who, by the way, sounds a bit zombie-ish in the morning. yeah, you're right. Guns are great. They are effective, but they alert other zombies. My weapon of choice is a crossbow or bow and arrow. Both are silent and allow you a great distance between you and the zombies. Plus, if you run out of arrows, you can always make more from tree branches or pieces of wood. Good luck in the upcoming zombie apocalypse. That's from Jeff.
Somebody's been watching The Walking Dead.
Let's go to line 7. There's no name given here for line 7, but I want to find out the deal on this because lots of people name this as their go-to location in the event of the zombie apocalypse. Hello there, mystery caller.
Who's this? Hello?
Hey.
Are you hiding from zombies right now? Can you talk closer to the phone, please?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling. Bye now.
We can't hear Ed at all. He says Costco. Now, isn't there going to be a huge rush on people trying to go to Costco because everybody knows that's where there's enough food to live for the next 500 years?
Yeah, everybody says that's where all the supplies are. But I think you're going to run into a lot of other humans, and you're going to have all kinds of fights breaking out.
And those supplies will dwindle very fast.
Let's go to Kyle. This is sort of the same idea. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
A zombie escape plan. This happens.
Sound that scary.
Although I'm not sure if those are zombies or zombies having sex, but where do you go, Kyle?
I'm going to Walmart. They got guns, food, clothes, treadmills to put outside the doors so the zombies can't get to the doors. I'm set.
They do have everything. There's no doubt about it.
I didn't thought of that.
You could live in a Walmart for a year if you needed to.
Yeah.
I do
have a McDonald's.
Good point.
What about this, though? Because Kevin and I were talking about zombies can go through glass doors, for instance. It's not like you're behind a brick wall or a giant fence or something like that. You get enough zombies pushing up against that glass, they're coming into Walmart, my friend.
But see, this is what you do. You get the treadmills and you put them outside the door. So then when they try to get to the door, they're on a treadmill. They're just going to keep walking.
Yeah,
they're just going to keep walking. They're not going nowhere.
But aren't they getting in better shape as they do it?
Nah, they're stupid. They'll just fall off eventually.
They're going to be so exhausted, they're going to die all over again. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you. I think I know what your answer is going to be, Kevin, and it's that you're a grown man. But why all the hate for the Biebs lately? Why do you hate my little Justin Bieber that I love so much?
First of all, you call him your little Justin Bieber.
That's the problem,
that's
right?
That's
there.
A fan. Yeah, that's A.
Okay.
B, he's a douchebag. C, he's everywhere. And if you want to, you know, to ignore him, which I do, it's not possible.
He's everywhere.
He shows
because
up at
he's...
the Mayweather fight. I mean, all that's ridiculous stuff.
He got invited to the Mayweather fight
so
by
what?
Mayweather.
So what? Don't
Here's
be a douchebag. Turn it down. Don't be a douchebag. He doesn't belong in there.
The reason he's everywhere is because he's popular and he's talented and people like him. That's what's going on.
You make me sick.
This Norway story, first of all, is crazy. A riot broke out. 15,000 people clogging the streets of Norway. They almost called a state of emergency. 78 people injured at his concert. 11 ended up in the hospital as a result of his concert. Then he goes on to Paris, where he runs into a glass wall during a show.
Now this
gets a concussion.
This is what I love.
Yeah.
And then goes back out on stage and finishes the set, even though he had blacked out backstage.
He ran backstage. There was a glass wall that he didn't see, and I've done this 100 times, and just tried to run right through it and knocked himself out.
Well, let's catch up with Justin himself. I think he's still on the road on this world tour that he's doing right now in anticipation of his new album coming out later in the month. Justin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Why all the questions, bro?
That was just, how are you?
I just said,
no,
how
but
are
like,
you?
That all was these it. Hard questions, bro. What's that all about, eh?
It was just hello. That's it. Just how you doing. How you feeling after the concussion?
Hard enough being me, man. Being on the road with all those people rioting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's that all about?
Well, it has to be scary. I mean, even though they're just little girls, you put enough of them together, it's got to kind of be dangerous. You can't move your car, you can't walk, you can't do anything.
Most destructive force in the world are prepubescent girls.
Dude. Is that right?
Yeah, we should, like, unleash them on crime or something.
That's a great
great,
idea.
Eh?
Yeah, it's a great idea, Justin.
Sure. Like, wartime, just open up, like, a plane and parachute them into, like, Nazi Germany, eh?
First of all, we don't have any
Nazis.
Problem with Nazi Germany
Why
anymore.
Why are they still letting the Nazis run around,
they're
eh?
Not.
They
We're
should
not.
Be outlawed or something.
It
What's
is
that
outlawed.
All about?
It is okay. It's outlawed.
And I was in Norway, eh?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Norway, eh? Norway 8. I was in Oslo.
Right.
And there were like 15,000 people in the streets.
Right.
There's not even 15,000 people in Norway.
That's true.
They had to import people from other Scandinavian countries, eh? Just to riot outside my concert.
And who did that? Your management?
Yeah, we did.
That's what I thought.
You were very popular there. But then what happened in Paris? We wanted to find out the details. Because this isn't the first time where you've run into a pane of glass and hurt yourself.
I know. What? I have problems like windows, eh? It's so strange. You know what the problem is?
What?
Glass is transparent, eh?
Right.
They should make it like solid and colored.
But once you learn that glass...
It's not a black thing or anything. I'm just saying you'd be able to see it better.
Okay. But once you learn it's transparent, don't you start to watch out for it?
How can you watch out for it? It's transparent, eh?
But Justin, my
dog... Like you walk around, it's like, oh, this is a clear way to go. And then, no, there's an invisible force field of the hardness there, eh?
It's not invisible.
But what I'm saying is that my dog figured out the first day that glass is something you can't walk through. Why can't you get that through your head?
Because I keep seeing through it, and I think I can just go forward, eh? It's tricky. Glass is tricky, eh?
Not really for anyone that's over four.
I just keep finding it. I think it's, like, good to go, and then...
Oh, Jesus. Geez. What happened?
Oh, crap. See what I'm talking about?
That just happened live?
Yeah, there was, like, a glass window there, and it looked like you could just walk through it.
Right, but... Well, be careful.
Ow, eh?
It's not that difficult of a concept,
oh,
really.
Oh, what's all this blood about?
Oh. I hope it's about your death.
I got to go get a Band-Aid.
Now what? Justin?
Oh, who keeps putting all these glass windows around here? I need, ow, eh? Someone needs to, we need to have someone talk.
Oh, no.
This is ugly.
I shouldn't live in a glass house, eh?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock at 9:50 in the a.m. I apologize. I know right now you're probably dragging your ass to work or school and you're feeling like crap because yesterday was a holiday and you probably had a few adult beverages and you thought, oh, this is nice, a day to relax. Maybe you went out and got sunburned, had a good time, stayed up too late, and now here it is. Boom, they throw you right back into the work week again. Two more days of this crap.
It's bogus.
Brutal. And I apologize that you have to go through this. I tried to talk him into giving you the whole week off, but they wouldn't go for it. So,
that's bullshit.
Hang in there. Kevin and Bean are on vacation, those bastards. But I am here doing Showbiz Beat alongside DJ Omar Khan and the beer mug. Let's talk about Tomcat, shall we? Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. This divorce is captioning everyone's imagination to the point where they're posting stories that are really unconfirmed. Everyone's got an idea or a reason behind why Katie Holmes is leaving Tom Cruise. Here, this much we do know. According to sources close to Katie, we know that she had been planning this split for about a year. For about a year out, she's been working under the radar, according to sources close to her, to get her ducks in a row, to distance herself from Scientology and from Tom's family, to get Suri, her six-year-old daughter, out of that situation. Now, here's where the speculation comes in. Some are saying the motivating factor behind this decision was a procedure that Katie Holmes witnessed back in 2005, where she saw Tom Cruise put his own kids through a Scientology ritual called sec checking that she thought was really troubling and brutal. Here's what the sec-checking process is, according to some ex-Scientologists. You don't really know about this process unless you're in the religion, so here's the deal. You hold a device called an e-meter, and then someone asks you a series of personal questions, and this supposedly helps the church locate areas of spiritual distress inside of you, and they can work on fixing you, whatever that entails. But these are kids, mind you. Little kids, and they make them hold this thing, and in a room full of strangers, they ask questions like, have you ever gotten yourself dirty on purpose? Have you ever refused to obey an order from someone you should obey? Have you ever done something you were very much ashamed of? Have you ever lied to a teacher? Have you ever decided you did not like some member of your family? What has someone told you not to tell? And then they make them tell that thing. It sounds like a real mind F.
Brutal.
And I think Katie saw Tom put his own kids through this process. Some claim it's a mild form of psychological terrorism, according to TMZ.com. These are ex-Scientologists who say this. In part, to get children to report on their parents. This way, Scientology can be the main source of attachment and authority in their lives versus right. even their own parents. Jeez. So if anything goes down, these kids feel a connection and responsibility to the Scientology leaders even more so than they do their own family.
Wow.
And this was the straw that broke the camel's back for Katie Holmes and the reason behind her splitting with Tom Cruise. Again, conjecture, but makes for an interesting argument. More conjecture, and this one's even cooler because it's got sex in it. Blind Gossip, which is a website that mostly posts stories that allude to celebrities without actually using their names, hence the Blind Gossip title. They have posted a story about a divorcing celebrity couple, in quotes, in which the wife and child once walked in on the husband in bed with a professional athlete slash family friend. Now, many other websites like Jezebel and WorldOfWonder.com have connected the dots, and they say it's referring to Tom and Katie and their good family friend, David Beckham.
Damn.
Cruise and David Beckham in bed together. Hmm. Look, they're good-looking guys.
Yeah, they are.
And I use that mental image for later is all I'm saying. I'm just saying.
Come on.
Come on. You have to be open in this life, don't you? This is a cool story. You guys know Donald Glover, of course, from Community.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a rapper. He raps under his alias Childish Gambino. Plays around town sometimes. You can see him. He's got some music recorded as well. Yesterday, he released a free mixtape under that alias, and it's called Royalty. The album features a lot of guest appearances from some big-time rappers. RZA's on there, Bun B, Schoolboy Q, Ghostface Killa, Tina Fey, of course, is on there.
What?
Yeah, Tina Fey does. She does a little guest appearance on the album, which is pretty hilarious. Donald used to write for 30 Rock before he got the gig on Community, so I guess they're friends. But she is a real good friend to come in as white as she is and to rap on this new mixtape called Royalty. I brought in a little piece of it because Tina Fey is just the best. Here's Tina Fey rapping as a guest star on Childish Gambino's new mixtape.
Yeah, we in here. We in this thing. Gambino is forever. Royalty is forever. We ballin' so we up the hardwood, homie. This is the life we live, son. My president is black and my Prius is blue, mother. Royalty all day. We dropping racks at Nordstrom, son. That's racks on racks, damn it. You feel me? You feel me? This is the part where most people would say something crazy and drop the N-word after it. Not going to. Not gonna do that. I don't feel comfortable. I'm out.
She doesn't feel comfortable.
That's awesome.
There's Tina Fey rapping for your... for your post-holiday blues.
Right.
She is very white, but also very game and very
yeah.
up for something fun, so good for her. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Dave Haywood of Lady Antebellum is 30 years old today. Actress Edie Falco, who is so good on Nurse Jackie, love that show, 49 years old. Mark Cohn, the singer and songwriter, is 53 years old. Robbie Robertson from The Band celebrates his 69th birthday. And Huey Lewis and the News.
Don't need money, don't take fame.
What might it do? That's right. It might save your life. You know why?
Ooh. It's the power of love.
Yeah. Huey of the News is 62 years old today. Somewhere, Jimmy Kimmel's planning a party.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.